You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Martial arts. Derek Lewis would definitely not be mixing the martial arts.
All right, I mean, not a bad. I was getting fired up. The ending, you didn't stick the landing, well, Casey, but that's okay.
I'm trying to change it up. You know, it's not the biggest fight card. So you know, spice it up. You know.
Yes. This card, UFC Vegas 65, as my best friend Alexander Kaylee likes to say. It's a card. There will be fights happening, and the main event, a very popular, dangerous Derek Lewis looking to slow down the surge of Sergey Spivak and try to get back in the win column. The UFC 281 hangover is real, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the UFC Vegas 65 live preview show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Keck, being joined by the aforementioned best friend, Prince of Positivity, Alexander Kaylee. Hi, AK.
Oh, hey, guys. I was trying to come up with a poll, and I was struggling. But there is a poll up now in the chat. It's not the most scintillating poll I've ever made. Does a loss to Sergey Spivak knock Derek Lewis out of the top 10? You can tell I'm really enthused about this weekend's card, Mike.
I hear the horns. All right.
That helped.
Best. Well, let's start with the question everybody is here for once they saw you tagged in the tweet, AK. The gymnastics score. It's gymnastics score time. UFC Vegas 65. Look, this card is not good in terms of stakes. Now, are the matchups alone going to be fun and entertaining? There's a very good chance that like nine of these fights could be a lot of fun. They don't matter at all. You can make a strong case that the highest stakes fight on this entire card is a prelim fight in the women's flyweight division between Jennifer Maia and Marina Moroes. That fight, in terms of stakes and rankings and title discussion, there is more on the line in that fight than even in the main event. So while I think this early afternoon MMA card will be a fun watch, and there are worse things to do on a Saturday, in terms of what these fighters are actually competing for in terms of stakes, not a lot here, AK, is there?
Seven, Mike. That's my gymnastics score. I think it'd be very hard for a UFC card to go below seven. I think if a UFC card goes below seven, I mean, we're talking like all-time, like terrible lineup. Expectations should be pretty low, which can be a good thing sometimes. As you said, we're probably going to end up having a good time. Like, I actually like a lot of the matchups, even if they're not like big names. We'll get to, again, sort of low-key bangers. But something like a Kevin Natividad of Ricky Tercios. If that was like a LFA headliner, I'd be super jazzed about it. I'd be like, oh, man, LFA has a friggin' killer headliner like this weekend. You can catch it on UFC Fight Pass, like Kevin Natividad and Ricky Tercios. So it's all a matter of perspective, right? It all depends how you look at it. If you look at it the right, I think Vince Morales, Miles John's a great fight. Demopoulos, Oliveira could be really fun. the undercard, it has, that I wouldn't quite say prospects, because a lot of these fighters, I wouldn't say are necessarily prospects. Some of them have experience. Some of them are a little up there in age, like real life age, if not, you know, combat sports years. And yeah, it would be a, I would be giving you a really hard sell if I was telling you, like, well, you know, Teresa Bleda could be fighting for the UFC flyweight title someday. And it's not to say she can't. She's looked really good in her career so far. But like, for me to give you, like, to say confidently that would happen would be, again, I'd be selling you a bill of goods. I'd be kind of doing the UFC's job for them and trying to maybe make more of these fights than they are. But as far as like level of competition goes, I do think they've matched these people up pretty well, pretty evenly, which is why I'm going with seven. I mean, that's not a super exciting thing. The main card has a lot of potential for finishes. I wouldn't be surprised to see four out of five of these fights end in a finish, possibly all five. But the one that wouldn't, Fialho Salakad, could just be an amazing like fight of the night type battle. So I'm talking myself into it, Mike, but about seven is about as high as I'm going to go. If everything goes as, you know, better than according to plan. Again, we got a bunch of finishes, exciting fights. Then, like you said, we'll remember this is a fun card, but also the one that happened after 281, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's just not a ton on the line here. So let's talk about the main event, because Derek Lewis fighting Sergey Spivak. And in the meritocratic world of mixed martial arts, rankings, where these guys both are right now, streak against streak, this fight makes a ton of sense. It makes sense from a meritocratic perspective. It's just weird to see Derek Lewis and Sergey Spivak on a poster, AK. It just, is this where we're at with Derek Lewis? Like, no disrespect to Sergey Spivak, but I didn't, was this fight on your bingo card in January that we were going to see Derek Lewis and Sergey Spivak in a main event fight in November? Did you, like, I could have never picked this one out and put it on any kind of a bingo card. Even just like messing around, throwing darts, the darts wouldn't have landed on these two guys fighting each other.
Well, we'll have to go back to one of our bold predictions podcasts, Mike, and see if any of us said, by the end of the year, let me tell you something, Derek Lewis and Sergey Spivak will be headlining a show. I'd remember that if one of us had mentioned an episode, but if one of us nailed it, it's pretty fantastic. Yeah, for some perspective, you're right, Mike. This is Derek Lewis's ninth UFC main event. That's counting pay-per-views. For Sergey Spivak, his first. So it does look like a bit of an odd – that might be why it looks sounds so odd, like you said, to kind of see them on a poster, to see Lewis's name across from his at the top of a marquee, because Lewis, we're more than used to Spivak. It is his first time. He kind of got lost in the shuffle in the last 18 months when we were talking about like Tom Aspinall – and Chris Dawkins and Alexander Romanov. He didn't really get put in that bunch, and perhaps rightfully so. You know, I'm not saying we like overlooked him, but he is a heavyweight under 30 who's actually having success in the UFC. So, you know, maybe should be getting some shine. 5-1 in his past six fights. That might surprise people. That's kind of the issue here, right? Is I can run all these facts by you, and pretty much every fact I run by, unless you're, you know, one of these brilliant MMA fighting viewers, one of our regular hardcore fans, you'd be like, oh, really? Oh, he has this many finishes in the UFC. He's beaten Alexei Oleinik. He has, again, he's 5-1. He's gone a 2-fight win streak. People just don't know. Maybe this is his chance. He gets back Derek Lewis, maybe gets past Derek Lewis, excuse me. Maybe does a Renato Moicano type, you know, shocking profanity laced promo. And we're talking about more than just him being on a win streak. You know, we're talking about him being a real heavyweight contender come Monday morning. But it's a long shot. Again, print the positivity here. I'm hoping we see something like that. If not, you know, it could be some classic Derek Lewis performance. So there's a lot of positive outcomes that come out of this, even if we're not like super jazzed about it. And there's not so many like obviously compelling storylines going in.
Right now, the betting line, Sergey Spivak minus 200, the comeback on Derek Lewis is plus 170, pretty sizable underdog for Derek Lewis. So that, like that. Kind of, isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Look at where we've come. But Derek Lewis, obviously, he's been finished in three of his last four. The Ciryl Gane fight, we knew, was a really tough matchup for him. He bounced back with the win over Chris Dawkins to end last year, then gets finished by Tai Tuivasa in a fight he was looking pretty good in the first round, and then got finished in under a minute by Sergey Pavlovich, AK. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Is this do or die for Derek Lewis? Like, I understand he's a popular guy. I'm not saying do or die in terms of, like employment because the UFC, he's not going to get cut because everyone loves the guy and he's so fun to watch and so fun to watch fight. But in terms of his fights, and maybe he doesn't need this, but in terms of his fights having like significant meaning in this division, is this do or die for him?
I don't know, because I think there will always be streaking sort of up and coming heavyweights to put him up against in that sense. But also, yeah, is he just becoming a number to take? So like I said, the poll I threw out there is, I worded it very carefully, you know, does a loss to Sergey Spivak knock Derek Lewis out of the top 10? Because I think a win certainly puts Spivak in the top 10. That's for sure. He's going to at least take Derek Lewis' spot, probably land around somewhere 7, 8, 9, depending how you do your rankings at home. But does it send, again, we have Lewis currently at 7. So does a loss to Spivak send him tumbling all the way from 7 to 11, 12, the 11, 12 range? I would think not out of the rankings altogether, because he does have wins over some of these guys. So just by MMA math, he's going to stay ahead of them. But maybe he drops below Alexander Volkov, who he's beaten. But I don't know. Maybe, you know, when you're on a 3-fight losing streak, you drop below him just by default. Maybe he drops below, I had the rankings, he drops below Martin Tabura. I don't know. It is possible. Again, another guy's beaten, but many years ago, Tabura, you could argue, has maybe had a little bit more success recently. Ryan Bader, who, you know, we know is going to fight Fedor. We know that. I was going to fight Fedor in February. Maybe you drop Derek Lewis below him. I don't know. I probably won't. I think even if Derek Lewis, loses to Spivak, I give Spivak his spot. I probably just bump Derek Lewis down one. But I could see a lot of people looking at this 3-fight losing streak, looking at his age, looking at, you know, who has he really beaten, over the last few years. Again, Curtis Blaydes still a great win, but I don't know. People might want to nitpick the other victories and might drop him out. I certainly wouldn't, but Mike, I don't know. I don't know where you are with that. Do you see yourself, he's taking a big hit with the loss of Spivak, especially if he like gets finished or just looks really bad.
What does a win for Sergey Spivak do for him? Do you consider him a major threat in this division? Do you look at him that way? Like this is a big win. We could build on this. He's a couple wins away from fighting for the belt. Are we looking at him in that way? If he goes out there and does what the betting lines are suggesting, he's going to go out there and win, take Derek down a bunch of times, maybe get a late finish. Like what happens then?
Again, I think he needs to like show, I'm not saying he doesn't have personality. I think he needs to show more of an overt personality, you know, that kind of personality that UFC likes, that boisterous on the mic, loud, you know, guy I hate to keep bringing up Moicano, but boy, that's one of the guys we were talking about so much coming out of this past weekend, just because Moicano wants money. He's got a catchphrase now. I don't know if Sergey Spivak can come up with something like that, because his resume will be, again, like I said, super strong. I know this is his first top 10 guy. Yeah, he fought Aspinall and lost. So if he beats Lewis, again, his top 10 guy, two-time heavyweight title contender, it'll be 3 straight wins, 6 out of 7. How do you not start putting him into that title conversation? And yet, because of what we said about this main event, it's a card that just doesn't have a lot of buzz. He could finish Derek Lewis, and you feel like a lot of people just are not going to be tuning in to watch it live. I'm going to be very interested to see, you know, we put together kind of fighter reactions during a card. I really want to see which fighters are tuned in. Are there going to be a lot of people at least watching the main event and kind of being, you know, blown away if Spivak managed to take out Derek Lewis? I'm very curious. That gives me like a little, because when I see the fighter reactions, it gives me a little bit of a gauge if there's like a broader, you know, if fans in general are at least kind of cluing in. But this win could come and go. Even given the name that he's fighting, this win could come and go. And you feel like he's got to be at least, even after this, 2 wins away from even a number one contender spot. What I'm saying is I would be shocked if we're talking about Sergey Spivak in like competing for a world title in 2023. So people, you can clip that. Maybe I'm going to sound dumb. Maybe Spivak just is peaking and just starts running through dudes in his next couple of fights. But I just don't see it happening.
Well, listen, this is his big chance because they gave him a pretty solid opportunity a while back. And if you are on to the next one, listeners, for the last couple of years, I have not let Sergey Spivak forget that performance against Alexei Oleinik, because that was just not good. It was a win, but that was his chance to just go out there and just beat the brakes off this man. He couldn't do it. And I felt like that loss really hurt him. And then he gets thrown in there with Tommy Aspinall next, so we know how that went. And then gets Greg Hardy, gets him out of there. Augusto Sakai gets him out of there. But now he takes on the Black Beast, Derek Lewis. And what's the whole thing about this fight, it will get to picks in a matter of moments. I just don't know what either of these guys are fighting for. It's just such a strange main event. Like, it makes sense in the division, but I just have no idea what these guys are actually fighting for. So with that said, AK, what is your prediction? Does Derek Lewis get back on track, or does Sergey Spivak pick up the biggest win of his career against a former title challenger?
Yeah, listen, I hate to like kind of make our whole conversation moot. You know, a lot of it has been revolving around what if Spivak wins and what does it mean for Derek Lewis to lose, etc. But I think the Black Beast pulls this one off. Here's the kind of fighters that Derek Lewis, I've said this, messed up so many times today. Here's the kind of fighters that Derek Lewis loses to. Guys who are like athletically, like vastly athletically superior, he's going to lose to. That's your Sergey Pavlovich's, that's your Cito Gans. Guys that are like really technically superior strikers, I mean, I'd put Volkov in there, and Volkov was beating him for like the entire fight before getting, you know, just hammered in the last round. But I would put Cito Gans in there as well, and then Junior Dos Santos, you know, guys who can just kind of pick Derek Lewis apart. And then guys that are like Daniel Cormier. If you're Daniel Cormier, you're probably going to beat Derek Lewis. So those are the guys he loses to. Athletically superior, technically superior, or if you're Daniel Cormier. Tied to Tuivasa, I will say, it was like a coin toss. It's like two guys who are just masters of swanging and banging. So it could. I really feel like that one could have gone either way. But yeah, those are the kinds of guys he loses to. Sergey Pavlovich doesn't really fall into any of those categories. I don't think he's that much better of an athlete than Derek Lewis. He's certainly not a powerhouse puncher. Most of his finishes, again, are, he's a good grappler, take him down, ground and pound. And as we know with Derek Lewis, he doesn't believe that jiu-jitsu or any of that stuff works. So he's just going to get back up. I see him taking damage for sure. I see it being a tough fight, but I don't know if Spivak has the tools to keep him down. And in the stand-up, I just don't think he has that that kind of one-shot threatening power that's going to keep Derek Lewis honest. So Derek Lewis had some bad luck. The Pavlovich stoppage, again, you know, didn't look good. People are still contested. Hopefully he doesn't end up in a situation like that again. And as long as, again, I think there's no weirdness, Black Beast by knockout, man.
I'm with you, AK. This thing just screams Derek Lewis knockout to me. I think Spivak might be able to get him down at some point, but Derek Lewis is Derek Lewis, and he will just find a strangely non-technical way to just power himself back to his feet. And that's where Derek Lewis is the most dangerous. You seem like if you get him down, you're feeling pretty confident in yourself. And then Derek just hulks his way back up. And then you could just see the confidence just leave the opponent's bodies. They just whisk up into the rafters. And then Derek lands the big shot. So I'm going Derek Lewis. I'm going back to old school mythical Derek Lewis. Second round, KO, TKO. I think he gets Sergey out of there. I think Sergey gets a little frustrated. And then he just gets hit with the big shot and gets put to sleep. And Derek Lewis gets the upset win, at least with the betting odds. But I'm kind of shocked that Spivak is the favorite in this fight, considering the styles and stuff. And if you're looking at this from a betting perspective, I know Derek Lewis is plus money on the money line, but Derek Lewis Derek Lewis by knockout is plus 215. So you might as well just take the extra juice if you're going to throw some money on the Black Beast. So that's the main event. The co-main event, we have Iwan Kuchalaba versus Kennedy Njichukwu, AK. Did you see the face-off between these guys? Iwan Kuchalaba, what have you done with this man?
Yeah.
He's very, very nice. He's offered hugs.
He is. It got awkward.
Handshakes
though.
And smiles. Yeah.
The hug was not nailed though. The hug was awkward.
I mean, it was like his first hug in a way and maybe in his entire career.
He went for the hug. Kennedy thought, well, he went to put an arm around him so they could do, I think, like a shared like pose with the, you know, to the cameras. And I think Kennedy thought, oh, he's going in for a full, like, you know, come in for the real thing hug. And he kind of like turns towards him, and then Ion's like turning back towards the cameras, and you guys can see the clip. It's on the, you know, UFC social media or wherever. It's everywhere. It's a little awkward, but I guess we can all be happier that it is maybe a different side of Iwan Kuchalaba. We do see a lot of theatrics. We've seen him paint his whole body green. I guess he wouldn't do that. He really doesn't have that opportunity here because there's no ceremonial weigh-ins. They did the face-offs right after the official weigh-ins this morning. But yeah, we are getting a kinder, gentler more mature Ioan Cucurella, and people can decide for themselves whether that's a good thing or not.
Should be an interesting fight. Do we get crazy Ioan or do we get Diwan Cucurella? We shall see. Kennedy Inchichuku is pretty much grown up in the UFC, so we'll see what kind of steps he has taken. Chase Sherman, Waldo Cortez Acosta going down at a heavyweight bout. Muslim Salikov, Andre Fialho should be fun. And then so main card kicks off with Jack Della Maddalena taking on Danny Roberts. So, which main card fight outside of the main event, AK? Is it a fighter, a fight, storyline, this main card that you're zeroed in on outside of this main event?
I love any fight with Andre Fialho. This is his fifth UFC appearance of the year, by the way. He's 2-2 so far. It's crazy for me that he's 2-2 because I could see a lot of guys who are like, oh, they've 3-0. You know, they're on a win streak. They're like, yeah, I want to get back in there as soon as possible. This guy loses fights. He's gotten knocked out. He's gotten knocked out by Jake Matthews. And he's like, you know what? I still want to go back in there. I'm good. I have no non-brain related injuries. His knees are fine. He has no broken hands, nothing. No busted up shoulders. So he's like, put me in there. Book me. So yes, this is his fifth fight of the year. He fought three times in a span of 7 weeks. I think it was like 46 days. So this guy's crazy and very fun. But I will say, let's go with a little bit of a sort of contender watch here. Jack Della Maddalena. Mike, I think you're very high on this guy. He's kind of got that X factor. He's kind of got that you know, that KO power that you just can't. I mean, it certainly can be taught, but you also got to just have it. Like you got to have a certain acumen for it. This guy just hits like throws like bombs. I mean, when Jack Della Maddalena lands, like he is out there to KO every time, and so far has been as advertised in the UFC. I think Danny Roberts is the perfect matchup for him. With respect to Danny Roberts, he does find himself on the wrong ends of highlight reels every now and then. And that could be the case with Jack Della Maddalena. So, you know, he's a huge underdog. Hey, Danny Roberts, prove me wrong. Prove us all wrong. But I'm definitely got my eye on that main card opener to produce a highlight for the Australian.
Yeah, I think that's the correct answer. And I think Danny Roberts is a great opponent here for the reasons you just mentioned. As Jed likes to say, it's very important to be able to win impressively, but it's almost equally as important to lose impressively. And Danny Roberts can do both and do both pretty well. But he's a massive underdog. Danny's fun. I think Danny's going to get in his face, be a nice test for Jack. And the goal with this fight is to make sure that Jack can go out, look good, style a little bit, get a quick finish and be able to turn right back around and fight in Perth in February, since he's already essentially being advertised for that card, yet he's got to fight tomorrow. But he needs to go out there and take care of business. I like this fight. Very high on this guy. He's only 26, so he's not even getting into his athletic prime for another couple of years. So definitely somebody to keep an eye on at 170 pounds. Low-key banger, AK. What's the low-key banger? We're diving a little deeper. Diving into the prelim pool, what are we looking at? Is there a fighter you're watching? Is there a fight?
I got a shout out. Again, I said it. I hinted at the top of the show. I got a shout out Kevin Natividad and Ricky Curcios. I mean, Kevin Natividad has not had a lot of luck in the UFC, but before the UFC, he's a lot of highlights, big knockouts. And Ricky Curcios, just the character from The Ultimate Fighter. I don't know how good he is, I'll be honest with you. He won The Ultimate Fighter and then lost his first post tough fight. That's fine, but he's a real personality, man. He's a real guy. Like, you know, I don't know if the card starts until the Saturday's card starts until that Ricky Tercios fight comes on. With respect to some of the names coming on before, I think Vanessa Demopoulos, again, a lot of star power there. Actually, that's just her opponent, Maria Oliveira, so that matchup might be what piques people's interest at first, but I think it's really gonna get going when Ricky and Kevin get in there, because Tercios is just the new age Diego Sanchez. I know that's a lofty comparison to live up to, but boy, I just love his personality. I think he's better than he showed in that Ayman Zahabi fight. And I think he gets back on the winning track here. And if not, you know, maybe it's Kevin Natividad who gets off the schneid and gets his first UFC win. So good matchmaking here. I hope, I assume Tercios has a bit of a longer leash than Natividad just because from winning the Ultimate Fighter, but I hope neither man's job is necessarily in jeopardy, because I think this could turn out to be a really fun fight. Possibly steal the show, possibly win Fight of the Night award, or at the very least, we might get some Ricky Tercios related, just like weirdness that we'll be talking about after this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Maya Morose, that's the easy pick. So Johns Morales, I like. Miles Johns no longer with Fortis MMA, which is kind of strange because he's been kind of one of the captains of the ship over there for a while, but he's moved. He's got James Krause in his corner now. He's working at Gloria MMA. So we'll see what kind of difference that makes. I'm actually really interested in the first fight of the card. Natalia Silva, who became kind of a breakthrough fighter to watch, coming back and fighting Jasmine Jazdevizius, who is just a big athletic 125er. So what does the UFC do? Hey, you looked so good against a big, strong, athletic 125er. Let's throw you in there with an even bigger, stronger, more athletic 125er. And that's exactly what she's getting with Teresa Bleda, who 15-0 total. That includes a 9-0 AMI run. She's 6-0 as a pro. She's fought really good competition. And this woman is 5'9 and has a 71-inch reach in the women's flyweight division. You don't see a lot of fighters having that in the women's flyweight division. So Natalia Silva impressed the hell out of me in that fight with Jasmine Jazdevizius. Teresa Bleda deserves this opportunity to get her shot at the UFC. So these two are going to get after it, and it's going to be a fun way to kick off the card. So don't miss it. 1 p.m. Eastern, that's when the card starts. Early day MMA, and I think it's going to kick off with a fun one between these two women, AK.
Bleda's 20 years old.
She's 20.
20 years old, 6-0 as a pro, 9-0 as an amateur. So she's riding a 15-fight win. That's a nice number to have next to your name going into your first UFC fight.
Yeah, and there's no 5-22s on her record. There's no 0-7s on her record. All legit people, all legit fighters that she's been in there with, all with winning records, all pretty prevalent names over there. She's been in there with some good fighters, man. Should be a fun scrap. I'm looking forward to it.
Wow. All right. I'm looking at her combined. If my mental arithmetic here is correct, her last four opponents, the combined record, 43-11, 43-11-2. That's really good for, again, for, you know, that we've seen a lot of people come in with like 7-0, 8-0, 9-0 records into the UFC or into any promotion, into Bellator or PFL. And then you look at their sort of who they've beaten and you're like, oh, it's like, oh, they're in that, like, two fights ago, they beat a 1-15 person. And it's like, That's okay. I'm listening, Mike. I'm listening.
Yeah, she looked good on the Contender Series and almost got a finish in that fight and then had first round finishes the two previous fights. So she's fun and Silva's fun. Let's see what they can do to kick off this card. Okay, let's go to the peeps. I mean, look, I like I said, love to sit here and just break down all sorts of storylines, but there just aren't a ton of them on this card. This is just going to be a fun, cool watch. This is we're knocking on the door to the holiday season, and we're just going to watch a bunch of fun fights that just for the second half of the paycheck, which is there's worse things we could do on a Saturday, right, Casey?
Yeah. There are technically there are worse things. Yes.
Okay. All right.
We're watching adults. 70, watching adults beat each other up for money. That's fine.
Yeah.
73% of our voters. A lot of people chimed in too. 73% of our voters say yes. A loss to Sergey Spivak knocks Derek Lewis out of the top 10 of the heavyweight rankings. My goodness, what have you done for me lately, eh?
Where do we have him ranked? We have him ranked seven. At number seven.
Seven. He's in there. Like he's not like eight. He's not like eight. He's not like nine. He's like nine, eight or nine. He's seven.
And we don't have, Spivak isn't even in our top 15.
No, Spivak's not even he is a Favre. He is a Favre. He actually is on three ballots, but it's not just outside.
What's that word you use? A what?
It's a Favre. He's a fighter also receiving a vote. He's a Favre.
Did you make that up or is that a thing?
All the kids are saying it. All the kids. It was trending yesterday on Twitter. But two things were trending yesterday. Hashtag RIP Twitter and hashtag Favre.
I think I have Derek Lewis ranked below everybody. I have him at 11 right now.
Ooh, wow. He's right. Already outside of the Mike Heck top 10.
Where is he on my personal rankings?
Yeah, let's check.
My personal rankings, he is number 9. Yeah, my personal rankings.
You have him 9. Okay, so you have him lower than the consent. So I must have him. I probably have him still.
Who has him?
I must be really up there. I have him six. Damon, I see Damon also has him 6. So we got him up there.
I hated the Sergey stoppage, but it happened.
Yeah, right.
That's how it is. It is what it is. To the questions.
Let's go to the peeps.
Let's go ahead and just talk about this just a little more, because I think that's really what's really at stake for this. What's at stake for this entire card? I know we've kind of mentioned it, but I don't know. I feel like we go a little bit more. God dang it! What happened here? Everything.
I mean, that was pretty much the question I presented to AK. To have his fights matter, like he has a name, and like Dan Hooker, his fights still matter, even though he was on the Schneid. Beating Dan Hooker has a lot of value. I don't know if like
his fights do matter. Derek Lewis, his fights do matter because, like you said, if Spivak wins, we kind of see him as a top 10 player. So I would think the fight matters because of that.
I'm not saying right. But what I'm saying is, if Derek loses this fight, if Derek loses tomorrow and gets run over and stopped, does he still hold that same value now? Getting stopped 3 fights in a row, 4 out of 5. And now Sergey Spivak at the top of that list. Is it still the same impact?
Yeah, he's just that. He's that gatekeeper. He's that top. I don't know. Top. We'll call him that top 10 gatekeeper. He's the Neil Magny of the heavyweight division. I don't know. The guy who's just kind of always around. And we doubt we'll ever see him fight for a title or win a title, or maybe not even ever be a number one contender. But if you want to be a contender, you got to beat Derek Lewis. And Derek Lewis is only 37. Which for heavyweight years, is that right, 37, Derek Lewis?
He's 38 in February.
Yeah, so Derek Lewis, you know, unless his body fails him or he just wants to move on, I could see Derek Lewis, you know, sticking around for another 4 or 5 years. So,
I think Derek Lewis has never lost in Las Vegas.
I was going to talk about that.
And this is true.
The fact that he's at the Apex, has he lost at the Apex ever? Well,
he's never lost Las Vegas. So he's never lost
the
Apex.
I think Derek Lewis fights better at the Apex. I think that small cage is very beneficial to him. I think having no crowd, relatively very little amount of media to do. You know what they do media for 15 minutes at the media day, and that's basically it. There's no like real pressure. He does the same amount of media that, you know, whatever one of the 15 fighters they bring out there, you know. So there's nothing like really heavy amount of promotional work he has to do for Apex cards. So I think this is good for Derek Lewis. But back to this question,
because he meant it when he said like he hated fighting in Houston, like he hated like not just doing all the media, but everything being centered around him. Oh, Derek Lewis story, and he said after I hate that. He's not joking when he says like I hated fighting at home and being everyone, like he did not like it at all. Yeah,
I'm sure because he's one of those fighters. He's very honest about like I'm not into this for like I want to be known as the greatest heavyweight ever. Like that's my legacy. He's like paychecks, and fighting in the Apex in front of 6 people, he gets paid the same amount of money as fighting in front of 15,000 people who are all screaming his name. So, and I think Derek Lewis just, he enjoys that Apex approach to fighting much better.
Derek's, no matter what happens, Derek's, for the most part, still the A-side in all Derek Lewis fights. And it doesn't matter who he fights. So will he still be okay in the long run? Of course he will, because Derek Lewis is fighting, and that's all people care about. Him being on the poster, they're just like, oh, Derek Lewis is fighting. And it could be against anybody. Will it have the same meritocratic oomph beating Derek Lewis? Maybe, maybe not, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter, because Derek fighting anybody still gets people talking, still generates interest. And that's all he needs. He's beyond titles. He's beyond rankings. He's beyond all of that. He's just... Yeah. Derek Lewis, the balls are hot guy that everybody loves. And that's really all that matters for him. Even if he wins, he's still the same guy. He's still so far away from fighting for a belt. But again, with a guy like that, it does not matter. It doesn't matter.
He's a long ways away from where Chase Sherman is right now, let me put it this way. Just being thrown into mid-main card fights with Waldo Cortez Acosta. That is like not what's next for Derek Lewis, even if he loses.
No.
It's a long way to go.
Let me put it this way. The guy that just beat Derek Lewis is like the 5th fight down on his next card. Sergey Pavlovich is fighting Tai Tuivasa, but he's not even near the main event on that card. And Derek Lewis is still a main event after getting knocked out.
I thought that was the co-main event of that card.
I thought Dos Anjos Barbarina is the But either way, he's not main eventing.
The
Orlando card.
I don't know if the lineup's finalized, but yeah, I thought RDA. I don't know if the lineup's finalized, but
yeah, they did move it around. Shocking.
Yeah, so that's what
that's
I mean.
That's good like, for Ty.
So Derek Lewis is still a bigger name getting knocked out than the guy that Pavlich knocked him out in like 30 in a minute. You know, it was just yeah. So even if Spivak wins, like Derek Lewis still might headline the next card, next Apex card, and Cervic and Spivak might, while moving up in the rankings, might still be just another heavyweight. So,
I don't know if you're going to pull this one up, Casey, but just someone asked while we were answering that, is Derek Lewis a Hall of Famer? Oh, no question.
Absolutely.
UFC loves him. Dana White loves him. He's fought for the UFC title undisputed once, interim once. So two UFC title fights. He holds a bunch of records.
He holds the record, the most important record probably in the UFC.
Knockouts in any division, not just heavyweights. Yeah, most knockouts, period. 13 knockouts, that's the like most knockouts.
How can you not be in the UFC Hall of Fame and have that record? That's like...
This is true. Second in wins behind Arlovsky, way behind Arlovsky. Arlovsky is just ahead of everyone by a mile.
Story, but
third most UFC appearances behind Mir and Arlovsky. Hat tip.
Third most UFC appearances. Right. That's wild. That one kind of surprised me. Like, yeah.
Third most UFC heavyweight appearances.
Yeah,
heavyweight. Mir, Arlovsky. Yeah. And again, even beyond the stats, it's just a memorable personality. It's just a guy who, when we think of the UFC from this era of the UFC, he is one of the faces and just like people you will think of. That's a definition of Hall of Fame, right? So, there you go.
I always kind of am amazed that a promotion like Bellator had Derek Lewis, and he lost in Bellator. He's a Bellator washout, and yet they somehow let him go. Like they couldn't see that. That star power in him, even in a loss. But Derek Lewis, obviously, when he came to the UFC, did get a win in his first fight, so I guess that helped. Like, who knows if he would have lost his first UFC fight. Maybe everything's different, but... All right.
MMA Fighting giving me hours of content to get through this dumbass work week. You guys. Hey, thanks, Addison.
You're very welcome.
It's an honor.
You guys help us get through our work week, so it's like it's mutual, man.
Yes,
our dumbass work week or just regular.
Our dumb.
Work week?
Well, I mean, I Say love it. Our
no,
work
no,
week.
No,
but
no. We have a regular ass work week, not dumbasses.
Regular ass, yeah.
Regular ass. We are. We have.
Yeah, you guys.
It's a smart ass work week.
Yeah,
smart ass work week.
I like this comment. Yeah. I think this is Mauro Ranallo's burner account.
Will the polar bear chill the beast's bones, or will the heat from those melt the polar bear's habitat?
I appreciate that.
The latter is my pick. There'll be more melting than chilling, I think.
I'm not saying that out loud. I'm not. Lewis is going to win. Okay, to answer your question, sir, Lewis is going to win.
Oh, I completely forgot that you guys were so excited about what's his name? Ricky what?
Tercios.
Ricky, yeah. Tercios. But can we talk about
Yeah. Look, I answered this in the comments. Alex Lawson, do you remember Ricky's fight, dude sat around throwing Hadoukens instead of fighting? Yeah, imagine if he had hit one of those Hadoukens though. It would have been over. That's automatic KO. So you know, he couldn't get his chi right. You know, it wasn't quite as spectacular a fireball as you would like to be. But I saw Carlos Newton used to. Well, actually, not mid fight. He would do it after the fight. He'd do the Kamehameha. But whatever. Listen, it's a technique. He's got to work on it. Maybe this time will be more refined. We'll see. I support shooting fireballs in the octagon. So
I'm trying. I have to pull this up because I knew it was just flabbergasting numbers. So Ricky. Ricky Tercios's last fight, his only UFC fight, or no, I'm sorry. Yeah. His fight against
after Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. After Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah. He was 27 of 235 in strikes.
Say it again.
Say it again. He landed 27 of 235 were his strike numbers. 27 of 235. That is. Like,
that's got to be a record.
That's 11%. That's 11%. No, he lost.
Okay, he lost the fight. I was like,
he lost. He lost a very clear decision. Okay. Caitlin Duquegan is jealous of those numbers right now.
Yeah. Amon landed twice as many strikes and threw 120 less. He was 54 of 105.
You know what, though, Mike? Anybody could do that, though.
It was a crazy fight.
You know how hard it is to throw over 230 strikes and only land like 20-something? That's hard. Like, that's hard to do. Like, the energy it would take and the mental, like, confidence. Anybody – oh, if I was fighting Casey and I'm, like, tuning Casey up, yeah, I'd be very confident throwing. But if I'm, like, hitting air, I'm just probably going to give up. You know who's not going to give up? Ricky Tercio's not going to give up. All right, he's like, you know what? I'm 20 for 220. But you know what? Next, I got to throw 10 more strikes to land 10 more strikes. So I'm just going to keep throwing. So I'm more impressed by that than anything.
Yeah. Round of applause, Ricky Tercio's not giving up.
Don't give up. Keep throwing.
Keep throwing.
Yeah. I'm interested in seeing this.
I really thought I misheard you when you said that number, Mike. I was like, no, you must be talking about something else.
No, I'm not. I knew his fight, like, there was a crazy statistic in that one. Yeah, he landed in his other fight. He threw 291 in his other fight, AK, against on his Contender Series fight. He was 110 of 291 against Boston Salmon.
That's amazing.
Pretty and he landed 100 against Brady Highstand.
Yeah.
100 of 171. 58% in that fight, AK. So he could do it.
That's by 1,000 cuts, guys. That's by 1,000 cuts.
1,000 near cuts that misses.
He's a fun dude. Him winning is
no, he is a fun dude. That was just a weird fight. These things happen in MMA.
Omar M says, y'all never played Street Fighter before. Spam buttons, build that special meter for the big Hadouken. Yeah, he's just building up a super meter, guys. He's building up a super meter, and the fights are too short. Wait till he's in a five rounder, then he'll shoot a fully charged fireball in the fourth and fifth. He just hasn't had enough time. This is really the problem.
You're selling us all, AK. I love it.
Let's bounce from this card slightly real quick, and let's. I want to give a shout out to, you can read the question real quick.
I know you guys poo-pooed this idea, but if both Casey and Oscar keep winning their fights, as a degenerate fan, I would love to see two popular MMA media guys fight. Does that make me feel hard? Does that make me horrible? Yeah, you're a terrible human being, Scott. Yes.
But I appreciate you wearing a seatbelt in your avatar. That's nice. That's safety first.
I don't. You know, you've probably been around Oscar more than I have, Casey. Obviously, we all know Oscar. He's a great guy. Are you guys in the same? You're tall then. You're quite a bit taller than him, aren't you?
He's fighting at 55, he said. And
okay, you want to fight at, right?
Yeah, I can make 55. But I just want to give a shout out Oscar, but more about Oscar Willis of our friendly rival, the Mac Life. He is fighting tonight in his first amateur bout in Las Vegas. So good luck to him. Can't make it out there, but I did help him train for this fight. So Scott, I can't fight a training partner. We had some good sparring rounds. In Phoenix. Phoenix, we worked together. So I helped him give him that mental fortitude to get this victory tonight. So I don't know how you can watch the fight. I don't know if it's streamed or what, but he is fighting. I think maybe a tough enough card in
it is.
Las Vegas.
He has a Wikipedia. Oscar Wells officially has a Tapology page. By the way, he is fighting Jeremiah Benavidez. As you said, Casey, at a tough enough show. I will check now. I'll do a little research right here, see if we can figure out if this is airing anywhere. I know Tough Enough is usually pretty good about getting clips out. So if something crazy happens, they'll probably get out pretty quickly. But yeah, that's exciting. The Galaxy Ballroom at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas.
Yeah. So originally there were supposed to be two other media members too, but I think because of injuries and other circumstances, couldn't make the fight. Kenny Johnson from
what? Kenny was fighting? Oh my god!
He's not fighting. He's not.
He was
fighting.
Going to.
Yeah, he was going to. But and Dan Tom from MMA Junkie, I think injuries. They had to pull out because of the fight. Yeah. Pull out of the fight due to the injury. Mm-hmm. But our boy Oscar made it. He's there. So
God, it's exciting.
Wishing him good. Wishing good things for him. That rules. But he's good luck, man. Oscar. Like we had some good rounds. He had some good rounds. He had a mean right overhand. I was like, all right, I had to watch out for that. It was me.
Casey, the scouting. Jeremiah bit me to shut it.
His low single is like dangerous. Watch out.
There you go. There it is.
He kept.
I heard he's an excellent foot stomper, Jeremiah. Excellent foot stomper.
All right. What else do we got here?
Let's take like one or two more if we have them.
Where'd it go? I lost it.
We do have a People's Pre-Fight Show tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, so we'll have just a whole block of time dedicated to your questions.
All right. Of course, there is more than one Ultimate. There's more than just Ultimate Fighting this weekend, so maybe quickly. Okay. Are there any other MMA this weekend to watch?
It's Bellator. It's best card of the weekend, UFC Bellator 1. Bellator is the best card. Because of the two title fights.
Yeah, check out the prelims if you want to on Bellator, but definitely check out the main card. Definitely check out the top two fights. If you're gonna watch any two fights this weekend, honestly, it's the two title fights for Bellator. But as far as a whole card, I still recommend the UFC card. If you're picking in particular fights, Bellator. Yeah. Isn't Shinya Aoki fighting too on one?
Is he on one tomorrow? The Saturday card, yeah. The card tomorrow. Yeah.
I always love watching Shinya.
By the time some people might listen to this on Saturday on the podcast network, so by that time that happens, you will know what had happened in those title fights, and you can go back in time and tell us whether we were right. But yeah, Bellator looks like a good card. Daniel Weichels, holy crap, he's still going at it, eh?
Yeah,
sure is.
42-13. So let me do 450. This is 56th pro fight.
He's fighting an
11-0 guy. He's been fighting since 2002. 20 years. Congratulations, Michael, on 20 years. Casey, you're on your way.
I'm just chipping away at it. I also want to put this up. Scott, give me a call. I will jump on a plane and go to Tokyo. I'm ready. I would. Send me a contract and book me against some overweight comedian that wants to fight in Ryzen.
Yes. Comedian / pro wrestler.
Yeah. I would love to fight. I'm all down for those type of fights right now in Bellator. In Bellator Ryzen. Oh, in a ring with knees on the ground and soccer kicks. Woo. Lovely. All right.
I think we're good.
Anything else?
All right. I think we're good. Bellator card going down later on. We'll see you tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Yes, early start time MMA. That makes everything better. Prelims at 1 p.m. Eastern, main card at 4 p.m. Eastern. We'll have our post-fight show right after. And then I already warned our On to the Next One listeners on Heck of a Morning. Get your matchmaking picks in pretty quickly after UFC Vegas 65, because AK and I are probably going to record On to the Next One on Saturday night. All right? So until then, for Casey, for AK, I am Mike Heck. Enjoy Bellator, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.